This is Sydney Craighart, founder of EATOVA.com. Thank you for joining us today, and we are pleased to have with us Ms. Antoinette Artis, who is going to be discussing her take on the top five mistakes a new VA makes. And just to give you a bit of background on Antoinette, she is a certified master virtual assistant with over 6 years, actually 8 years of virtual assistance experience, and she also has over 20 years of administrative experience working with the federal government, nonprofit organizations in the private sector, and through several other self-employment business ventures. Her educational background includes receiving a Bachelor of Arts degree in journalism from the University of Maryland, and she actually graduated from Assist University in September 2000, after which she was designated as a certified professional virtual assistant. And then in 2003, she went back to Assist U for some additional training and received the certified master virtual assistant designation, which is really extraordinary because there's only 7 CMVAs in the world, and Antoinette is qualified to achieve that designation from Assist U, which is the premier organization for training virtual assistants. Also, in addition to her virtual assistant practice, virtual details, she runs a nonprofit consulting service called Nonprofit Connector, or NPC, which assists individuals and groups wanting to start a nonprofit organization by offering them consulting services and an online membership community for additional support. And if you'd like to learn more about Antoinette, her website is www.virtual-details.com or www.nonprofitconnectors.com. So, Antoinette, we'd like to thank you for joining us today and welcome you to the call.
Thank you.
And I really enjoyed reading over the bullet points that you forwarded over to me and your thoughts on this topic. I think it's really important that we as more seasoned VAs really share with the newbies and the new people to the industry what mistakes we made and what mistakes we've seen our colleagues make and how to avoid those, just to help them have a better experience and make the way a little smoother towards creating a really successful practice, which we've both been able to do successfully. So the first one that you mentioned was a VA settling for any client initially just to feel like they have a client. How do you think a new VA finds herself in that position, and how do you think she can overcome it?
Well, I have to say that this was one I learned firsthand. So that's why this was the first mistake that I identified. I think the way that new VAs find themselves in this position is, one, you're up against the fear of actually getting your business off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so then someone comes along and says, hey, I can use a VA. And you forget all about your procedures you may have put in place to actually filter them through to make sure that they're the right client for you. You forget all about your standards, the things that you're looking for from a new client or from a client, period. And then you just get caught up in the moment. And this really did happen to me. My very first client, I got her 3 weeks. After completing the VTP. And, you know, she kind of called me and said, hey, I heard that you're a virtual assistant, and I'm looking for someone to do some database maintenance for me. I was so excited. I was like, yay, I'll do that.
Uh-huh.
And then sure enough, it turned out that I had a good time doing it. Very successful time doing it, but she wasn't really an ideal client.
Right.
Because I was only doing that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, right there said, oh, I partnered with the wrong person. So, and then my other thought, too, is I like to always say, you can't run a business based on fear.
Right.
And I think that that's what happens. You settle because you're afraid. You know, what happens if no one else comes along? What happens if this is the only one to
right.
come along?
Yeah, I'd like to go back to what you mentioned, too, about providing the one service for her, and that was not that made her not an ideal client. And I think it's really important to remember that we're partnering with our clients.
Exactly.
You know, we do offer services and, you know, that's how we're paid and that's kind of the base of the relationship. But really, we want to look to partner with them and get knee-deep in their business and understand what their goals are and their objectives and, you know, and how they're trying to reach those and look at all aspects of their business to see how we can best support them instead of, as you mentioned, you know, just providing one singular service, which I found myself doing initially too. And it's not fun or interesting,
right.
And it really does kind of limit you in terms of how your relationship grows with that client and how more involved you get if you started out with that perspective.
If you could see me, you would see I'm sitting here shaking my head, yes. Yes. The other thing too, just to add on to what you just said, you have no way of growing a relationship.
Right.
The only thing you're doing is providing that one service, and so you're not actually growing a relationship. And to me, I think that's the key of being a VA.
Right. I agree. I definitely agree. So for a VA who has found herself in this position, you know, let's say she has, as just as you did, just graduated from the VTP, this first client comes along who's raring to go and you're so excited you take them on and you realize for any one or number of reasons that this is really not the ideal client for you. How do you, would you suggest that this VA overcome that obstacle or how should she handle it?
Oh, I have a couple of ideas. And the first would be recognize that this isn't the right client for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pretend like, you know, oh, it's okay and it'll get better as we go along. No, recognize it. And then, how do I say this? You help me out here, Sydney. Grow the confidence you need.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely a mindset of transitioning from that employee mindset where, you know, someone else dictates what your schedule is and what your workload is and what you work on and how much money you make. And it's something I know a lot of new VAs struggle with, you know, still feeling like they're in the corporate world and waiting for someone to tell them what to do. But you really have to take ownership of your business and the services you provide to your clients and how you build the relationship and really feel confident in what you can do because, you know, no one will go through this program or through this process without having the skill set that they need to be successful. And you have to just recognize that you do have something really valuable to share with the world and, is more importantly, really valuable that can make a difference in your clients' businesses. So you really have to focus on your skills and abilities and be really confident about who you are and what it is that you bring to the table.
Yep. So I would say grow the confidence you need to recognize letting that client go is going to serve both of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's called standing for the client.
Mm-hmm.
And when you stand for the client, you stand for yourself.
Right.
And now some people get in a situation where they're like, but I need the money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're in that situation where you need the money, then you don't want to necessarily just let that client go right away.
Right.
But you need to keep looking for your ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to not keep putting yourself into the same trap. Because the other way I like to look at it is when you learn a habit and you continue to practice that habit, you can't break the habit.
Right.
And so if you're going to build a business based on desperation, you might as well get a job.
Right. I agree. And I think another thing that you just made me think about is to not, you know, once you realize that this person is not your ideal client, I went through this same thing with my first real client. And then I thought, you know, what in the world is wrong with me? What was I thinking partnering with her? This is definitely not where I want to see my business going. But you can't beat yourself up over it. I mean, you made your choice, you got into it, and you realized that this wasn't ideal. But it's a great learning experience.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Don't be overwhelmed with, oh, no, you know, I made a wrong choice, and now I'll never be able to choose or determine if a person's the right client. You know, take from it what you can and really learn from it, and perhaps in your interview process develop better questions to when you're talking with prospective clients. But really just learn from it and appreciate the growth opportunity and don't beat yourself up over it. But really, like you said, look forward and look to make a better choice next time or just put the systems in place so that you do only work with and attract your ideal clients.
Exactly, yeah.
Great. It's so important, especially at the very beginning. Now, we talked a bit about VAs really changing their mindset and having that paradigm shift and having a strong confidence in their abilities and their ability to make a successful business and to build the successful business. Your next point was in VAs doubting their worth and not believing in themselves and the businesses they created. And again, you know, how do you think that some of us find ourselves in this position, and then what steps can we take to overcome that?
Oh, this is probably my favorite one to watch people conquer.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens, I'm an assisted trainer, and in class two, I think we start talking about image and style. And so often you hear people say, well, I want my image and style to be professional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a given.
Right.
You know, so it's like, what do you really want to be true about your business? And that's when you find people kind of have to really go inside of themselves to think about, how do I want to create this? I get to create this? And I get a lot of people saying, I really get to create my own business?
Right.
Yes, you get to create it. So then what happens is they create this fabulous business. I know because I get to read these awesome business plans.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go out of the comfort of the class and they start interviewing. And someone says, are you kidding me? You're charging what? And they're like, oops, I think I made a mistake. I set my standards too high, or, you know, I set my rate too high, or I created my business too much for my comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I talked to VAs a little later and like, well, you know, I had to reconsider this because, you know, clients weren't coming in fast enough because, you know, I said I would only work Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to recreate this in my business because, lower my rate because, you know, people were complaining that my rate was too high and they were meeting other new VAs and I wasn't getting clients fast enough. And so I think, again, it goes back to being afraid to stand for what it is you want the most.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point. You know, you do so much work to build the foundation of your business, and it only takes one person to come by and be like, are you crazy? And then you just start second-guessing everything that you've created.
Yeah.
But I think, again, it really goes back to shifting that mindset. In the corporate world, we're not given that much leeway. We're not given the opportunity to define our future and create our own path and really make our career what we want it to be. And that's the beauty of creating your own business, particularly in the virtual assistance industry, because you can only offer the services you want to offer. You can charge whatever it is you want to charge. You can work 2 days a week or 5 days a week.
Right.
So, you know, once you've gone through the process of determining what your standards are and how you're going to set up your business, you can't let anyone, especially a prospective client, come through and undermine that and make you second guess it, because you're building your business to work for you, to not work for them. And the sooner that new VAs can wrap their head around that and really embrace it and own it, then the far more success they're going to see and the faster they're going to achieve it. And it's really, I have seen how that really can hold people back, you know, feeling timid or scared and not really standing by their standards. And it's just so critical to your success to be able to do that.
I'll tell you this other little quick thing, especially about the doubting your worth part.
Mm-hmm.
You said it, every VA sets his or her own fee.
Right.
So your fee is not arbitrary.
Right.
Your fee is set based on the needs of your business. And I'll never forget when I first started my business, I set my fee $35 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And my mentor at the time when I was working in federal government, you know, she called me one day and she was like, oh, Antoinette, I know that you started this new business and I want to talk to you about doing some work. And I did this. I'm admitting this. I said, well, you know, for you, I can't charge you what I normally charge people. And she said, oh, no, 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 that is so wrong. You don't start off that way. You know, you tell me what your rate is and that we go from there. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, my rate is $35 an hour. And I kid you not, she screamed, are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness, no one is going to pay that. $35 an hour was what my rate was 8 years ago.
Oh, my.
And today, I think she would just go and crawl under the table if she now I'm charging $95 an hour.
Yes, you know? Definitely.
So, like, but it was like, you know, that when she made that comment to me, that's when I realized that I cannot think about or even base my rate, my worth on what anyone else will think about me. It has to be based on what I think about me.
Right.
What I know to be true about my needs.
Right.
So, you know, it was like it hurt my feelings when she, you know, yelled and, you know, like, you know, kind of like told me off because she was my mentor.
Right.
But then it made me even a little stronger to realize that, hey, my rate wasn't set arbitrarily. It was set because this is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, you know, no one can come in and tell me I need to recreate anything about my business.
Right. And I think it's so important to get your mind wrapped around this at the very beginning of your business, because you can't set a precedent for letting your clients dictate how you run your business.
Oh.
Otherwise, you might as well, as you said, go back and get a regular job. If you are going to be a business owner, you have got to be a business owner, and you've got to make the decisions and stand behind them. And there's always going to be a naysayer. You know, I like you, charge $95 an hour, and I get plenty of people who come through and say, oh, my God, that's so expensive, and, you know, I can find another VA who's $45 or $55, and that's great, and because that means they're not my ideal client. So they have done you a favor. They
right.
have disqualified themselves from your practice because they don't fit you. But if you come from a place of confidence and come from just your tone and your voice and your presence and your materials and your website, if it's a very confident package that you present, you will have no problem attracting, you know, your clients if your rate is 55 or 65 or whatever it is.
Whatever.
I mean, you said it, and it is what it is, and the people who resonate with you as a person will have no problem paying you whatever you want to charge, but you have got to come from that place of confidence. And I think another thing you mentioned, too, which is a great point you mentioned, you know, coming from this place of, like, can't let the client go because I need the money, and, you know, it's really important to have a really solid transition plan in place. And
yeah,
we talk about that extensively in another class offered by EA to VA, but it's so critical to really plan out how you will transition from your corporate job to your full-time virtual assistant practice so that you don't find yourself in that position. And again, I completely agree with you that you know, you shouldn't just let the client go because there was something about them that resonated with you that, you know, it may be worth exploring and continuing to try to build. But at the same time, you don't want to have that fear-based, you know, particularly based on a lack of money. So it's really critical to have in place, even before you get to this point, to have a really good transition plan. So then if you find yourself with a bit of lull while you are attracting those ideal clients, then it's okay and it's not stressful.
Exactly, yeah. I agree.
Now, another thing you mentioned was new VAs not sticking to their standards and negotiating with the client about how operations within their businesses are carried out. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, kind of going back to a lot of what we were saying before, just the negotiating part, I have never seen it in any other kind of business before. But I hear so many VAs say, you know, well, I was talking to this client, and, you know, they want to negotiate these sorts of things, you know, like hours that I work, or
mm-hmm.
negotiate how much, you know, my pay is or rate is, or, you know, I have even heard VAs tell me, especially new VAs, say, well, you know, I'm talking to this person who's thinking about putting me on some sort of plan where they will give me a percentage of whatever their book sells if I, you know, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So standards, I just need to say this first. Standards are the things that help you to say no in your business.
Absolutely.
And boundaries help you to say yes to certain things in your business. When you set standards, and you know, and I'm saying this just because it took me a while to really understand what in the world is a standard.
Right.
You know, and again, it's because when you're coming out of the corporate world, standards are set for you.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of go in and you have to follow whatever they are set. Standards are things that are just as small as my hours of operation are.
Right.
You know, my rate is. And then standards can go as high as, you know, I know VAs who say, I'll only work with clients who make this much, you know, whose gross revenues are this much money.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I remember one of the standards I kind of set early on in my business because my mom was so funny. You're going to quit your job and do what? You know, you're so crazy. And I was like, well, one of her pet peeves was, or her concerns, what about benefits, Antoinette? What about vacation? What about, you know, these things?
Right.
So I have a standard around vacation. I will have nothing less than 4 weeks of vacation a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because, like you said early on, business has gotten so much better. Now the standard has gone a little higher, no more than 8 weeks of vacation a
mm-hmm.
year, or no less than 8 weeks of vacation a year. But those are standards. If a client comes to me, and my office hours are Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4,
mm-hmm.
a client or a student can come, or another VA can come to me Monday through Thursday, 5 p.m., or all day on Friday, they won't get a response from me until I return to work.
Right.
It's just that important, because when you start to lower your standards or lower your boundaries and allow people to cross over, and, you know, you no longer remember what your off days were, or the fact that you had, you know, you didn't have evening hours because now you're working well into the morning, you know, with clients and things like that. When you do that, you set a precedent, and clients then forget what your standard was,
mm-hmm.
and then they no longer respect it.
Exactly.
And it's not that they're not respecting it because, oh, you know, we completely forgot about it, but they're not respecting it because they know that you're not respecting it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yep.
So you couldn't. I couldn't have said that any better. And that's the thing about standards and boundaries, which I have to say, you give a perfect definition of what they are. We're taught to put those in place as a protection for ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all have different personalities and different family circumstances and lifestyles, and we really think through these standards and these boundaries, and they're put in place to protect us so that the business does flourish and we can come to work with a fresh mindset every day and really give our best to our clients. When you allow your clients to undermine your standards, you really are doing them a disservice as well as yourself, because you are not going to be in a position to give them your best service, because you're going to feel intimidated by them. You're going to feel like they're more in control. You perhaps will be staying up too late, like you mentioned, working too many hours and not have the mental clarity and the freshness to give them every day. So you are setting yourself up almost for failure, because you are not allowing these standards and boundaries that you thought so carefully about to protect you. And it's absolutely critical that, you know, once you've established these, and we have very similar practices. I, too, only work Monday through Thursday, and from 9 to 4, actually, which is ironic. We didn't even talk about that before this call. But you know, and that's put in place so that I can start my day. I actually start my day at 8 o'clock, but I use that first hour to, you know, kind of go through email and remind myself of what my goals are for the day. And then I end at 4 o'clock so that I can do the same thing, kind of wrap up. And that way I have a normal work day and I can switch into wife mode or whatever else I need to do for the day. So it allows my business to support my lifestyle and my family. And that way I can give the best of Sydney to all of the different, you know, roles that I play. So you have to think much bigger than, oh, well, my client, you know, wants me to start working on this at 6 and I'm supposed to stop at 5. Once you give them the power to do that, it's like you said, they're going to start slowly just taking more and more of it because you don't respect your own standards enough. Why should they?
And can I just add one other thing?
Please.
To the standard part, excuse me, is when you talk about the money part.
Uh-huh.
When I go through a class with the VTP, you know, we teach people how to set their rates. And
let me just interject one thing for those who are not completely familiar with AssistU. AssistU's training program is called the Virtual Training Program, and the shortened version of that is VTP. So once you're accepted and you're involved in that class, you're called a VTPer. So for those on the call who don't know, we just want to explain what that is. But please proceed.
Oh, thanks. But we go through and we teach you how to set your rate. We teach you how to invoice. We teach you how to address late payments and things like that. But what we don't necessarily get into because it's not our place, it's part of the way you create your business is, you know, if you have a client that you want to start off with as a pay-as-you-go client, and then maybe you want to move them to a retainer client, what that actually looks like, how you deal with late payments, what that actually looks like. You know, we don't get into that sort of detail because that's all a part of what you do is while you're creating your business. But what happens typically for a new VA, they'll think about this if they go through my class. They'll think about it because it's something that I'll require them to at least mention in their business plan, how they're going to handle these late payments, how they're going to handle this, you know, switching a client from retainer to from pay-as-you-go to retainer and that sort of thing.
Right.
A client will come along and, you know, kind of say to the new VA, you know, well, this is great and all, but I think that, you know, I should be allowed to pay you this way. Or I think that I should be allowed to stay on this retainer or this pay-as-you-go plan. And, you know, so they'll start to dictate to the VA how they think that part of their business should run.
Absolutely.
And then the problem is again, like we've been saying all along, it's not the client's business.
Right.
It's your business. And so it's very important that you even know these things, set standards around them, so that you're very clear about how it's going to run, and then you can clearly share that with the client.
Exactly. Exactly. And giving a lot of thought to that in the beginning, it's great that you have that as a requirement as part of the business plan process. And just really thinking through all of the scenarios, you know, what will you do if a client's check bounces? Oh. Or what will you do if they come to you, you know, at the end of your workday with an urgent request? And this seems to be a pattern that they have. How do you handle that? Because clients will, you know, and we don't want to put a negative image over our clients, but they're busy and they're entrepreneurs and sometimes things fall into their lap that they need help with or can't handle, and then that filters over to you. But you, as the VA, as their partner, not just as their assistant or their secretary as you were in the corporate world, you as their partner have to really stand up for them and say, hey, okay, so I understand you have this, but this is the end of my workday. I can't work on this for you right now, but this is how I can help you. So just thinking through scenarios and understanding how you feel about handling certain matters will really help you to give your best service to your clients, and it makes for a much smoother relationship and process throughout the life of that relationship with your client. It just, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to always give your best service and how these standards and boundaries really protect you, and they put you in that place where you're able to do that.
Right. You're exactly right.
It's so nice to have this conversation with someone who's so on the same page. I love it. And now another point you mentioned was new VAs not pursuing certification or any other training. Why is that so important? And since we are, you know, we both have been graduates from AssistU, obviously we both really direct new VAs toward AssistU to get their training. But in addition to that, what other training opportunities are available, and what other thoughts did you have on that particular point?
Oh, my gosh, this is probably, you know, like one of my passionate points. I am a certified master virtual assistant. And that was not like this quick, easy, you know, mountain to climb. And You know, you can't just throw money at it. You actually have to do some stuff.
Right.
In order to, you know, reach that designation. I believe with every fiber within me that clients so totally get that a person who takes a serious interest in their industry, in their craft, are going to go out and get certified.
Mm-hmm.
And clients look for that. I think that the VA who, you know, starts this business and goes, ah, you know, just graduating or just taking that course or whatever, you know, venue they use in order to start their VA business and then they stop there, they just do themselves a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend certification. I even like to see it in business plans, you know, write down how long you think it's going to take you in order to get to your first certification.
Right.
You know, because I think that is so important. The other thing is I happen to work primarily with nonprofits, specifically with volunteer boards of directors for various nonprofit organizations. So for me, I have had to go out and get additional training in the nonprofit management, you know, arena so that I could learn a lot more about the people I'm serving.
Right.
And that has only served me. Well, it hasn't just only served me, but it served me because then I was able to start my other business, Nonprofit Connectors, where I'm offering these consulting services.
Right.
To people. But, you know, why was that? Because I took an extra step and added this, you know, very critical part, I believe, for me wanting very much to grow my business, grow myself, and to show my industry how committed I am to it, to show my clients how committed I am to them. And then, of course, it does nothing but make me feel even more confident and proud of myself and what I've accomplished.
Absolutely. I, too, am so passionate about this topic. It's actually a huge pet peeve of mine. I hear so many new VAs, even in our community, unfortunately, who, you know, who can't see past the money of investing in themselves through certification and training. And you just, it's just not optional. You just have to do it. And if that's something you have to build into your business plan, it's something you build into your fees, into your annual budget,
exactly.
You have to build in additional money for training, time to also, but time and money for training and certification. You'll just never, ever grow to the extent that you can. You will not make as much money as you can, and you will become stagnant with your clients. And those are the top three reasons, I think, is that you just have to be committed to doing this. Your clients' businesses are going to grow, and they're going to want to go in new directions. And if you have a good relationship with them and you've really partnered with them like you are supposed to, they want to take you along that ride. They want to take you with them as they grow. And if all you still know how to do is type Word documents and create Excel spreadsheets and run Access databases, you know, that's not going to fly. You really got to get in there and learn, you know, learn about some marketing, learn about how to set up e-commerce, learn about how to write copy or press releases or automatic messages for them. I mean, you've got to self-educate and continue learning and growing and learning software programs. And every year you should be growing in your knowledge and your expertise and offering those things to your clients. It's just not optional. I just feel so passionate. I could go off on a rant about it for the next 30 minutes. But that's one of my main objectives with these programs is to really train new VAs with that mindset and help them understand that the more they invest in their time in their business with their time and their resources, the better off they're going to be in the long run and the more successful they'll be. And if I can't teach them anything else but just that, I will consider myself a huge success.
Yeah.
But it's like, and the other great thing, it's like you said, you know, you feel so much more confident when you say, you know, for example, well, you know, you talk to a prospective client and they say, well, how much are you? Well, I'm $75 an hour. And you say it with that confidence because you have trained yourself and you know what you're capable of and you know what difference you can make in their business. it's so much easier for you to roll out that number, and you don't even think about it. You say it, and you move on. So it's just so critical to your success to understand why certifications and trainings are important, to really do the research, get in there with the assisted community, get involved in the EA to VA community, understand what opportunities for training there are, and spend the money. If it's $49, if it's $99, if it's $500, you know, just build it into your business and put yourself out there, and you're really, really going to set yourself apart from your competitors and from other VAs, and it's just amazing what kind of opportunities come your way when you invest in yourself that way.
Hey, you know, I just have to add this, too. I want to add it. You know, I'm right now getting ready to join an organization, a nonprofit group, just because I want to be in the community of these, you know, and around these other executive directors, you know, for exposure. So how cool is it going to be? Here I am, a VA. I'm making an investment in their organization. And it's not only to grow my business, but it's also just to learn more about them.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's a win-win all over the board.
It is, and it's so worth it. I mean, I have spent thousands of dollars on continuing education, and it's been money that's been so well spent. It has opened me up to countless opportunities. I mean, I have made that money back 5 to 10 times over, you know, the $500 or even the $1,000 that I spent on a training program because of the networking I've been able to do and the contacts I've made and the people I've met and what I've learned about my target market, you know, really understanding what their needs are and what drives them and how to be of best service to them. You cannot lose by investing in yourself and continuing to certify yourself in certain things and getting trained on certain business, you know, related aspects or projects or software or whatever. I mean, it just opens you up to an entire new world that you wouldn't otherwise have access to if you just stay in your little bubble and, you know, and kind of rest on your laurels on the skills that you have, which are great. But you have to really be committed to continuing to grow yourself and your business. And like I said, I'm so passionate about it. You won't be as successful. So please, if Antoinette and I can't teach you anything, please do and continue to take that time and money and invest in yourself. You will see such wonderful rewards because of that.
Yes.
And the last point you mentioned is the mistake that a lot of new VAs make is not seeking the support of the community and or getting involved with the community. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, now, the community can be just about any VA community.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the key is it must be a VA community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, Sydney, but I don't think I'd be halfway near, well, I can't really say it wrong, but I wouldn't be as far along as I am without the support of the other men and women at Assist You.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 110%.
I love going into a new client interview and, you know, being able to share. And along with me comes this incredible benefit of the knowledge and resources of over 400 other VAs.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't happen. It can't happen if I don't make myself, what's the word I'm looking for? If I don't show people that I'm here.
Right.
So if I don't, you know, reach out to the people within the community. So I think, personally, the community is a great asset, and so accessible. And for the most part, most communities that you belong to, I can say this specifically about the Assist You community, want to, long to, look forward to helping, assisting, supporting, doing whatever they can to show, you know, their appreciation for being a part of this community.
Absolutely.
And so getting involved with your community, reaching out to people, seeking support beyond, you know, your small circle. Again, I teach. So there could be 6 people in the class. And sometimes, you know, they see me, because I am the face of Assist You for them for the most part,
mm-hmm.
and I'm accessible. But I always send them to the community, for little questions. Antonette, how do I, get Outlook to talk to my, online service? I can tell you, but that's a great question to post to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, so people go out, and one of the responses I get back, toward the end of the program is, thank you so much for forcing me to spend so much time on the portal, spend
yes.
so much time in the community, because now they've made all these great new friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they have resources way beyond just Antoinette.
Right.
And I think that, make those connections. Make yourself a little vulnerable. One of the things that we say in the VTP program is that you cannot run a VA business as a lone ranger.
Absolutely.
You have to reach out and make connections with people. So that's why I think it's so important.
I totally agree with you. I think I just as a follow-up to what you just mentioned, working as a virtual assistant, I sit in my home office every day. I get up and I get ready and I walk up my stairs to my loft and I start working. And I am alone, aside from the interaction with my business partner occasionally or with my clients throughout the day. But I don't have, someone at the desk next to me that I can turn around and say, hey, why is Outlook doing this? What, can you help me figure this out? And if you are a virtual assistant, you don't ever have to be alone. If you choose to isolate yourself and not reach out, you can, but that's a choice you make. It certainly doesn't have to be that way. And I would encourage virtual assistants, especially as part of the Assist You community, to, as you do, get involved in the community. Get involved with your local chapter. Go to the events. Talk to the coordinator. Look for other VAs in your area, even if they're not Assist You VAs, and network with them and look for ways to work together and support each other. I know here in the Bay Area, there's a few organizations aside from Assist You. We have a great chapter leader, Susan Sullivan, who does a fabulous job with our events and coordinating those. But we also have a couple of other organizations that really cater to business service professionals, and really get involved and become a resource and look to support others, and they will look to support you. It's completely a win-win situation.
Exactly.
The other thing I encourage new VAs to do is to get a coach and to get that type of support. The VTP is great, and you will absolutely start a successful business while you're in the VTP and be raring to go, but you still would like to have some ongoing support, just personal to your business when you're done. And I know Stacey Bryce, who I actually still coach with. I've been coaching with her for over a year, and I love Stacey, and she's helped me to implement so many great ideas into my business. And there's other people and other ways you can get coaching. You could even coach, with more seasoned VAs or ask them to mentor you, and Assist You has a great intern program. So look for ways to connect with and work with more seasoned VAs. Also, don't think that, you have to make all the mistakes as you're going through and learning, but you can really avoid some of those pitfalls if you just reach out and ask for some help. And no question is ever a dumb question. I think that's another great reason why you'd point people to the portal, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. There's no such thing as a dumb question.
No, and if you're asking the question, it's guaranteed that five other people have probably asked it or been wondering. So you help everyone when you just go ahead and post it. Yeah. And, we're building this community here at eatova.com, and please get involved and ask your questions and just reach out for the support. Those of us who are seasoned and who have been able to build successful businesses, we want nothing more than to really help you and boost you and give you all of our knowledge and support so that you can be successful and continue to pass that on. I don't know of a single VA that wouldn't be willing to share some of her knowledge or expertise with a newbie. So just don't hesitate to get out there and to connect and really take advantage of all of the resources that are available to you.
Yeah. Oh, can I just add one thing about
it? Oh, please do.
Coaching is a huge deal. I've been coaching with Stacey, too. We really do have a lot in common.
Yes, we do.
It's nice to meet you. I've been coaching with Stacey now for about 6 years. And every you know, month, I see something new.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my business, you know, just some new avenue to go down or new road to travel, you know, just it. Coaching really just help you to take your concepts, to take your ideas, and to make them real.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a great way, especially for new VAs, to grow that confidence muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, not so much, you know, you don't have to just coach with Stacy only.
Right.
But, you know, whomever you choose to coach with, one of the cool things that's going to happen is that they're going to teach you all about how to be confident, how to go for what you want. And it's a safe place to go and say, okay, I'm a little scared.
Mm-hmm.
Here, and, you know, I'm a little frightened of, you know, whatever may come down the, whatever may be coming down the pike. So, you know, get a coach.
Absolutely.
Get a coach.
And, you know, along those lines, again, we talked about this when we were discussing our last point about the certification, but it costs money, and you have to be willing to spend the money.
Oh,
you know, to coach with Stacy or another coach, you're going to have to just add that to your monthly business budget. But it's such money well spent, because the coach will help you to develop your ideas and figure out how to best implement them. It's wonderful, like you said, to be able to say, you know what, I'm raising my rate, but I'm scared, and she'll boost you and tell you you're the bomb and you should just say it, and you just say it, and it's great. And, you know, just so many things that I have learned from my coach, and things I've been able to implement. This very program is a result of, you know, the coaching that I've done. So it's just so important that you continue to support yourself and your business and give yourself that room to grow and put people around you who are going to support that effort and really be there to cheer you on. And there's even free resources to take advantage of. You know, SCORE is a great organization. It's a group of retired executive professionals who want to help new businesses. Take advantage of those programs. If there's a local small business administration office in your area, go to some of those events. Get to know those people. Look for people around you and put them in place who are interested in seeing entrepreneurs succeed. Tell them what you're doing. Tell them what your goals are. Tell them the obstacles you have. And just pull from all of this pool of resources that you have, of people who genuinely want to help you and want to help you succeed. There's so many ways to do it. But to get that really personal, ongoing, one-on-one support, I mean, we just can't recommend a coach high enough. It's almost just a must-do. It's really up there equally as important as that certification and training.
Exactly. And one of the cool things is if you get the right coach is going to encourage you to do the certification and training as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's just run through your 5 points, Antoinette, again as a wrap-up to our call. This has been such a wonderful session we've had, and you've shared so much knowledge and insight. I really thank you for that. Again, just to review the 5 points, it is not settling for any client initially just to feel like you have a client. You don't want to doubt your worth and not believe in yourself and the business that you have created. Please, we ask you to stick to your standards. Do not negotiate with your clients about how to operate your business. Continue to look for ways to pursue certifications and other trainings to increase your skills and your knowledge. And number 5 is please seek the support of your community. Get involved in your community. Seek a coach. And all of these things are mistakes that can certainly be avoided, and you'll be so much further ahead in creating a successful and sustainable business. Again, we want to thank Ms. Antoinette Ortiz for joining us today. It's been wonderful to have you with us on this call. And again, if you would like to connect with Antoinette or learn more about her business, it's www.virtual-details.com. This is Sydney Craig Hart, founder of EA to VA, signing off, and we look forward to having you with us on our next call. Have a great afternoon.
Okay.